Our theme for this retreat is a supernatural power, like we all know. Shall we pray? Precious Father, we thank you for this privilege to be in your presence. Lord, we ask that as we look into your word, cause your light to shine in our hearts. Cause your word to profit us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you saturate this atmosphere. Cause the life of God to flow in our midst. We receive insight. We receive revelation. We receive understanding. I receive utterance to deliver your mind to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Supernatural power. Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, speaking of natural might. Not by power, speaking of natural power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, by my spirit. I want to start by saying the Holy Spirit is not the power of God. The Holy Spirit is a personality, is a person. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of the power of God. He is the one that releases the power. The Holy Spirit is the source of the supernatural power of God. And so if we are going to talk about the supernatural power, we should understand is going to revolve around him. Now, we have two sessions for this retreat, tonight and tomorrow. Tonight, I want to discuss the very fundamentals, the very basic. And permit me to be very elementary, but I think it's important. I'm just going to talk about the supernatural life. And then tomorrow, we talk more on the supernatural power. Tomorrow is going to be a little bit deeper than tonight. Tonight is just the fundamentals, just the basic. We need to look and understand the basic of the supernatural as we talk about the supernatural power. It is the life that carries the power. One challenge we have in church today is that so many people want the power of God in their lives, but they don't take time about the life. And that's why we have so much of the problems that we have. God is more interested in your life. God is more interested in you than in what you do. The man is more important to God than the work. It's the man that does the work. Praise the Lord. So, we're going to discuss more about the life because I think that is more of the fundamentals. Now, what is supernatural? Simply put, the definition of supernatural. Supernatural is something that is beyond or above the natural. Something that is beyond the natural. Something that is above the natural. Something that is unexplainable by natural laws or phenomena. Something that you cannot really explain through natural laws, through natural phenomena. The simple reason is because it's beyond the natural. So, you can't explain the supernatural by the natural. The supernatural life is the life that is beyond or above the natural life. The supernatural life is the life that is released and operated by the Holy Spirit. The supernatural life is the life that is released by the Holy Spirit and operated by the Holy Spirit. The same way, supernatural living is living beyond and above the natural. Living beyond and above the natural. Like we all know, there are two realms of living. The first realm is the natural realm. And the other realm is the spiritual realm, which we call the supernatural realm. Praise the Lord. And you will discover that entrance into these realms is through the channel of birth. For somebody to be in this realm, that person must be born into this realm. And the same way, for somebody to operate in the supernatural realm of God, he has to be born into that realm. Glory to God. So, the natural realm, so like I said, access into the natural realm is through natural birth. Until you are born, you cannot be in this realm. The person must be born of the flesh. Praise the Lord. Now, John chapter 3 verse 6. John chapter 3 verse 6. The scripture says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So, to be born of the flesh means to be born by natural birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That means that which is born naturally is natural. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. That which is born through the process of the spirit is spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, we all know, when we are born into this realm, we are born by our natural parents into the natural realm. When a child is born, some things must happen to that child for that child to live and maximize the benefits of this realm. If a child is born into this realm, and that child does not grow, that child does not talk, that child does not walk, that child does not learn, that child does not study, that child could not hear, see, smell, feel, you'll discover that that child may not be able to maximize the benefits of this realm. Does it make sense? Hello? So if these things are absent, even though you are born into this realm, you cannot maximize the benefits of this realm. Imagine a child that is born and cannot see, cannot hear, cannot feel, cannot touch, cannot grow. That child may have great potentials, but cannot maximize them. The same is true in the natural realm. Now, I want to read that scripture to us again in some other translations. Our discussion is on the supernatural, so I'm going to dwell more on the supernatural realm. Praise the Lord. Now, John chapter 3 verse 6 again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. To be born again is to be born of the spirit. That which is born naturally. When we are born by our parents into this world, we are born naturally. We resemble our parents. We look like our parents. We are as natural as they are. But then there is another realm of birth called the supernatural realm. And for us to have access into the supernatural realm, we must be born supernaturally. And Jesus said to Nicodemus that for a person to be born again, he has to be born of the Spirit. Now, if you read that same scripture in the New Living Translation, the NLT, it says, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Humans can reproduce or give birth to human life. When you are born by your parents into this realm, what you carry from them is the human life, natural life. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to what? Spiritual life. In other words, when we are born of the Spirit, when we are born by the Holy Spirit, we are born with or given this spiritual life. That's what grants us access into the supernatural realm. Reading that same scripture in NIV, the New International Version, it says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Now, what Jesus was telling Nicodemus was that when a person is born into this world, is born by his parent, he receives the life of his parent, the natural life. But he was saying to him, there is another kind of life that is birthed by the Holy Spirit. When somebody is born again, the Spirit of God releases into the spirit of that person a spiritual life, a supernatural life, the very life of God. Praise the Lord. So when you are born again, you are a new creature in Christ. Is spiritual. A new nature is birthed into you. That nature is a spiritual nature. That nature is a supernatural nature that is birthed by the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. And so the scripture says that which is born of the Spirit, everyone that is born again is born of the Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When we are born again, we carry the nature of the Holy Spirit. That is the nature of God. That is a supernatural nature. That Spirit has the very nature of God, the life of God, the nature of God. Like we all know, when Jesus came into the world, he came with that life called Zoe. The Bible says in him was life, and this life was the light of man. The natural life is bios. That has always been around. Zoe was never in the world until Jesus came. He came with the life of God. And the Bible says when we believe in him, when we yield ourselves to him, surrender ourselves to him, and receive him as our Lord and Savior, a miracle takes place in us. The Holy Spirit now births the very life of God into our spirit. The supernatural life. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. So, as a man, we are spirit. We have a soul, the seat of our emotions, but we dwell in the body. So when Jesus was saying that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, he wasn't referring to this physical body. This physical body is what we got from our parents. But within us, the real man is a spirit. And that spirit carries the very life of God. Praise the Lord. And so, like we said, concerning this natural life, a child that is born into this natural realm got to grow, got to talk, got to hear, to maximize the benefit of this realm.
the same thing, the new nature in you. The Bible calls it the spirit man. That new nature that carries the life of God has to grow in order to maximize the benefit of that new realm. If you are born again, your spirit man carries the life of God. And that spirit man does not grow. To be able to see into the realm of the spirit, hear in the realm of the spirit, speak in the realm of the spirit, feel in the realm of the spirit, perceive in the realm of the spirit, he cannot maximize the life of that realm. Can I say that again? For the natural life, a natural man, to maximize the benefits of this life, that child must grow. That child should be able to talk. That child should be able to see. That child should be able to feel. So he can communicate and relate and benefit from this life. The same is true about the spirit life. If the spirit man does not grow spiritually, the Bible says, grow in the knowledge of Christ. If the spirit man does not grow spiritually, if the spirit man does not hear, if the spirit man could not see, if the spirit man could not perceive, you cannot maximize the benefit of the supernatural life. Is that clear? These are fundamentals. Now I say that again. Living supernaturally means you are able, first you grow supernaturally. Okay? If you are 4 feet, you're still 4 feet. It's not physical, but on the inside, something increases. You are able to communicate supernaturally. You are able to hear supernaturally. You are able to sense. You are able to perceive supernaturally. Now, God speaks, or the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit man. Very rarely does he speak into our ears. Very rarely. Very rarely does he speak to our mind. He speaks to our spirit. And our spirit now decodes it to our mind. And sometimes he does not necessarily speak. You can just feel. When the Bible says being led of the spirit, it doesn't mean it's everything that the spirit speaks to you. There are sometimes he just leads you. It just gives you a deep knowing, a deep sensing, a deep perception. And you just know that you know. That's a perception, not necessarily a voice. Some other time he can speak to your spirit and you can hear his voice in the spirit. Am I communicating? I'm trying to say, when you are born into the spirit, born supernaturally, you have a responsibility to grow supernaturally in order to maximize the benefit of that realm. Praise the Lord. Now, excuse me. So to be born again is not just to attend church. We know that. It's not even to change church. It's not even to change your dress tie. No. It may include that, but that's not what it means to be born again. To be born again is to be born of the Spirit. To be born again is to be born of the Spirit. To be born from above. To be born supernaturally. To be born into the realm of the Spirit. Just like a child is born into a family, when somebody is born again, he is born into a supernatural family. It's as real as that. So the Bible says, he that is born of the Spirit is spirit. Your success as a child of God, your life as a child of God is rooted in that realm. How rooted you are in the realm of the spirit. How connected you are in the realm of the spirit or in the realm of the supernatural determines your story in this life. What makes the whole difference is your root. And you see, when a child is born again, when a person is born again, Satan does all he can to make sure he is disconnected with his roots. And that's the reason you discover so many people find it difficult to have a time alone with God, a time of prayer, a time of study, a time whereby their roots can be connected into Him. Jesus says, except you abide in me, you can do nothing. That's your root. So your success in the natural as a child of God is dependent on your roots. Sometimes you see a tree. The reason you find that a tree can withstand storm, withstand the rain, withstand adverse weather condition is not because of how tall the tree is. It's not because of the beautiful fruits. It's not because of the luxuriant leaves. What makes the tree to stand is its root. And unfortunately, there are many people who are struggling to grow upward without a desire to grow downwards. The reason this building has been like this and it has stayed this long, despite the storm and despite the rain, is because of the root, the foundation. The aspect of the tree that is not seen with the eyes is what determines the stability of the tree. The same is true of the supernatural life. So, the secret life of a Christian, when you see a Christian do in the public, when you see the Christian do on the outside, the secret of it is the secret life. The aspect of his life that you do not see. And that is his connection to the supernatural. A man of God could come and minister and say, wow, I like this anointing. Somebody could be so anointed and have the grace to minister and sing and everybody blessed. You say, wow, I wish I could do that. The secret of all those glorious manifestations is the secret place. So your connection, your roots into the supernatural is what determines your story in the natural as a child of God. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says, he that is born of the Spirit is spirit. We are given birth by the Holy Spirit. And that means that we have what? Divine parentage. You carry a divine life. That's what we call the supernatural life. It means you carry a divine genes, genetic code. Your genetic code is divine. A child does not struggle to resemble the parents. A child does not struggle to obtain the traits of the parents. You find out when a child is just born, sometimes they say, oh, he resembles the father, oh, he resembles the mother. But as the child grows, you find that the traits become more glaring. Am I correct? The same thing. What you carry on the inside may not manifest unless you grow spiritually. The Bible says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in the ground. And the scripture says, and when it grows, it becomes the greatest. Before its growth is the least of all seed. When it grows, it becomes the greatest. The potential begins to manifest. The birds of the air, the animals, they begin to take shelter under its leaves. Why? Because it's grown. When you are born again as a child of God and you carry the supernatural life, only God knows the potential that you carry. But that potential will not manifest unless you grow. People that have been destined to drink from your river may not be able to unless you grow. So Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a seed. When we receive, when we born again and receive the supernatural life, we receive the kingdom on the inside. But the potential of that kingdom only manifests as the person grows. Glory to God. And may God help us to grow in the name of Jesus. So we are born into the realm of the Spirit, into the realm of the supernatural. You are born of the Spirit, so you can do what? You can operate in the Spirit realm.
in the supernatural realm. Now, when a child is born into this realm, is born into the realm of the parents, so that the parents can take care of that child and the child can grow in that realm. The reason it's necessary to be born again is because that's the realm of your parent. Your spiritual parentage is supernatural. And you've got to be born supernatural to be able to relate in that realm. God expects us to walk in the spirit. The scripture says so. God expects us to talk in the spirit. God expects us to hear in the spirit. God expects us to perceive in the spirit. God expects us to know in the spirit. For us to do that, we first must be born into that realm. And so, all of us here, by the grace of God, I want to assume that we are all born again. And so, by the grace of God, we have been born into that realm. That's the realm of our Father. So we can relate with Him. So we can draw the benefits of that realm. Draw on the benefits of the kingdom and manifest in this realm where we are. Glory to God. So you are born from above. Your origin, your citizenship, your tribe, your root is from above. God wants us to have the right mentality of who we are. If we are born from above, we carry all the potentials from that realm. And God expects that we live from that realm. The Bible says we are seated together with Christ, far above principalities and powers and dominions. So we are born from above so that we may live from above. That was the secret of the life of Jesus. He was living from above. He said, of myself I do nothing. But as I see my Father do, so I do. As I hear my Father say, so I say. Why? Because he was living from that realm. He was living from the realm of the supernatural. That's why everything about him was supernatural. That's why his life was amazing to people. Because he was living from a realm that was beyond the natural realm. And that's the whole reason he came. To introduce us into that realm. So we can live from that realm. Praise God. Praise God. Are we together? Now this is very basic. The whole essence of being a child of God. What a glory. That we can be here, yet we are living from there. The Bible says the reason we receive him is that he might live through us. One reason Jesus died so young is because he took our place in death so we can take his place in life. His life was cut short. Why? So we can continue to live his life. His life was cut short so it can be multiplied in us. And he expects us to live exactly the way he was living here on earth. How was he living here on earth? He was living the supernatural life. He was living a life that was dictated from above. He was in constant tune and constant connection with the Father. He was hearing from the Father. He was seeing from the Father. He was perceiving from the Father. So he was living beyond the natural. That was why he could succeed in the assignment that the Father gave to him. The assignment that we've received is supernatural. And if we are going to succeed in the assignment, then we must operate supernaturally. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So you are born from above because God wants you to live from above. You are not supposed to be ruled or controlled by the things in the natural. Why? You are above it. Your life is above it. Glory to God. You are living far above it. We are not intimidated by the things that we see or feel. We receive our perception, our control, far above every situation.
That's why Jesus will laugh as he smiles. I mean, Jesus will sleep in the midst of the storm. While others are afraid, he was at peace. Why? He has connection with the Father. May that be our experience in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. The Bible says, he that is born of the Spirit is spirit. So, even though you have flesh, even though you have flesh and bone and blood, the scripture says you are spirit. There is something supernatural, something spiritual about you. Now, without that, there is no way we are different from any other person on the street. What makes us different is what we carry on the inside. Jesus will say, in the world you have tribulation, but in me you have peace. Be of good cheer. How can you smile in the face of the storm? How can you be full of joy in the face of persecution and trials? It was because there was something on the inside of them that was above the natural. You know, joy is different from happiness. The Bible said the kingdom of God is not food, it's not drink. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness. You can't buy that with money. The kingdom of God is what? Peace. You can't buy that with money. The kingdom of God is what? Joy. So it doesn't matter what is happening around you. Those are your quality as a child of God. Righteousness, peace, joy. And so unfortunate that today many people in church think the reason they are in church is because of what God is going to do for them. And so when God blesses them with one blessing, oh, they rejoice, and people think, oh, maybe they are wonderfully connected with God. And I always say, no. Most of the blessings that God blesses us with, even the unbelievers that don't know God, they have them. Am I correct? So what makes us different from them? But there's something you have that nobody has unless he has his connection in the spirit. Money cannot buy it. Glory to God. We carry the kingdom, the supernatural life. We live above this life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, let me run. I just pray that God will open our eyes to the reality of the life that we receive in Christ. I just pray. I was reading a story of a poor black boy, very poor. The story is that maybe he was an orphan in the airport. He shined shoes. And one day he met this man, it was a white man, sat down there and lifted his leg. And this poor black boy was shining the shoes and was singing. And his face was glowing. The glow on his face, the glory that his face radiates was indisputable. And this white man asked him, boy, what makes you so happy? He said, Jesus, he forgiven my sin. And he was shining his shoe with such joy, not knowing that this white man was a millionaire, struggling with depression. With all the millions, he never knew joy. He never knew peace. And so this man was interested about the joy. What is the secret of this poor black boy's joy? And he began to talk to him about Jesus. Thank God that man gave his life to Jesus. He told the story. There's something we have that the world don't have. It's the supernatural life. It's not determined, your joy is not determined by what is happening around you, because it's above it. May God make us walk in it in Jesus' name. Now, the secret of this supernatural life, or should I say, what enhances this supernatural life, is quoted in our nature. And God expects us to know it and grow it. Like I always say, it's even there in our name. We are called Christians. Christian. I try to divide that into two. Christ and I-A-N. Christ. and I-A-N. I-A-N, I call that I am nothing. A Christian without Christ, because there are many like that, is nothing. Without Christ, I am nothing. Am I correct? You know, there are people who look at Christianity as a religion. And they say, which is your religion? Say, I'm a Christian. Yet, they've not met with Christ. Am I correct? Are there people like that? Now, such people, they are only I-A-N. I am nothing without Christ. Now, what is Christ? Christ means the anointed one. Is the anointed one in you and his anointing that ushers us into the realm of the supernatural. That's the secret of the supernatural living. Praise God. Is the anointing of Christ that comes upon your spirit man that enables you to live the supernatural life. Without the anointing, the supernatural. Without the anointing, which is supernatural, Christianity is like any other religion of the world. What makes Christianity to be different is the supernatural touch, the anointing of Christ. It is the anointing of Christ that enables the Christian to live the supernatural life. When a person becomes a Christian, receives Christ, the first thing the Father does is to give him his spirit. Hello. The Bible says, without he that has not the spirit of Christ is none of his. It's the Holy Spirit that places the seal upon us that we belong to him. It's the Holy Spirit that baptizes us into that body. And the essence is the Holy Spirit releases his power, which is the supernatural power, upon your spirit man to be able to live the supernatural life. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I want to look at that a little bit. What is the anointing? Permit me, I choose to define it the way that fits me. I say the anointing is the divine super, in quotes, that enables a natural person to live the supernatural life. The anointing is the divine super that enables a natural person to live the supernatural life. In other words, there's something from God, something divine, something supernatural that comes upon a natural man and enables a natural man to live a supernatural life. Like we were saying earlier on, talking to God, hearing from God is not natural. It takes a supernatural enablement. Living a holy life, which is expected of us as Christian, is beyond the natural. It takes the supernatural to live a life that will please God. Praise the Lord. And you know, these are very basics of the Christian life. The normal Christian life is supposed to talk to God, to hear from God. The normal Christian life is supposed to live a life that will be pleasing to God. But you can't do any of these by your strength. It takes supernatural entity. That's the anointing. So it's the anointing that enables us to talk to God. It's the anointing that enables us to hear from God. Is the anointing that enables us to live a life that will please God. Is the anointing that enables us to live the supernatural life. Praise God. So it takes the anointing, which is the supernatural power, to live the supernatural life. Again, we can say, the anointing is the divine extra that enables an ordinary person to live the extraordinary life. The anointing is the divine extra, a divine quantum that comes on an ordinary person to live the extraordinary life. Praise God. Now, the Bible said the just shall live by faith, correct? Living by faith is not natural, it's supernatural. Faith is supernatural. But yet, that's what is expected of you as a child of God. Yes, it was by faith you came into this realm, and you are sustained in this realm by faith. For by faith and through faith, we are born again. So faith helps us into this realm and sustains us in this realm. So living by faith is supernatural. To be led of the Spirit. That's what is expected of every child of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, who are they? They are the children of God. But that is supernatural. To be led of the Spirit is supernatural. And when you are led by the Spirit, your life is beyond the natural. And that happens by the help of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So I'm trying to say that these are basic, normal Christian life. But you discover you can't live it without the anointing of the Spirit. So the reason you are a Christian is because you have Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. He is the one that enables us to live the life. It's not by your power. It's not by your strength. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Many people have been frustrated out of the faith because they try to live by themselves. Live by struggling. Live by trying. You can't. You will be frustrated out. It is Christ that lives in us, lives through us by his Spirit. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, the anointed one and his anointing. Glory to Jesus. So it takes the anointing, the supernatural power, to accomplish the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life. Again, we can say the anointing is the divine enablement conferred on us to have access into the realm beyond the natural. Divine enablement conferred on us to have access into the realm of the supernatural. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. I will say again, it takes the anointing to hear from God. It takes the anointing to see into the realm of the Spirit. It takes the anointing to open the Bible and draw life out of the letter. Without the anointing, the Bible is a closed book. Without the anointing, the Bible is mere letters. Yet, when the anointing begins to flow upon your soul and upon your spirit, it opens life, it reveals truth, it releases life into your spirit. It takes the anointing. It takes the anointing to have illumination, to have revelation, to have insight. It takes the anointing. So is the anointing, is the divine enablement conferred on you to grant you access into the realm of the supernatural. Because that's who you are. You have been born supernaturally. For you to live supernaturally, you need the supernatural power to live the supernatural life. And that's very fundamental. That's very fundamental. If we can't live this life, forget about pulling down strongholds. If we can't live this basic life, if you don't have the basic supernatural power to live the basic supernatural life, forget about doing great exploit for God. It's not possible. You can't do it. Because you do that in that realm and you are not there. And so first of all, what God does is for us to grow this life. None of us as parents, we have your toddler, maybe 2-year-old that is just trying to walk, and you ask him to go and carry a big bucket of water. You won't do that. There are some things you have ask a little child to do and say, are you wicked? God is never wicked. There are things that God will never let you do. Assignment God will never commit into your hand until you've grown. He waited for Jesus for 30 years before he can pronounce him a son. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, verse 19, verse 17, verse 21, God referred to Jesus as what? The young child. Take the young child and run. Take the young child and go to Egypt. For Pharaoh wanted to kill him. Take the young child and go back to the land of Israel. Because those who sought his life are there. God called him the young child. And in the next chapter, chapter 3, one day God says, behold, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. When God made that announcement, the Bible said the Holy Spirit came upon him and drove him into the wilderness. And he was there for how many days? 40 days. He came out in what? In the power of the Spirit. And his fame spread abroad. At that time, when you study the scriptures, the Bible says at one time, they told Jesus that Pharaoh wants to see you. He said, go tell that fox. He called him a fox. He said, I live today and tomorrow and the third day I am perfected. It was Pharaoh that they took him and ran. Why? He was a child. He could not confront his enemy. The same thing. There are things and assignment that God will not commit into our hands until we grow this life on the inside. Glory to God. And that's why we are here. That's the reason for this retreat. If a child is born into a family and they refuse to train the child in the culture of that family, refuse to train the child in school, he's not exposed to learning, he's not exposed to training, and he's just there in the house, that child may never grow to maximize the benefits of his potential. The reason we are here in this retreat is to learn, to study. So that our spirit man will grow. So we grow supernaturally. So that God can commit greater things into our hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, again, I can say the anointing is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon a person to accomplish a task. The anointing is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon a person to accomplish a task. The Holy Spirit comes and empower you with the supernatural power so you can do something supernatural. Prayer is supernatural. You can't pray effectively without the anointing. There is an anointing to pray. Preaching is supernatural. You cannot preach effectively word delivery without that grace. There is a preaching anointing. There is a teaching anointing. There's a prophetic anointing. There is a praying anointing. So whatever assignment that God is committing into your hand, he gives you an anointing in that area. Because that's what enables you to accomplish the task. If God calls you to be a prophet, he will give you a prophetic grace. If God calls you to be a pastor, he must give you a pastoral anointing. If God calls you to be a teacher, there is a teaching anointing. Even those who sing and worship, there is a grace. You can't do what they do. It's beyond talent. People can have the talent, but they cannot minister. They can only entertain the soulish realm. But when the anointing comes upon the talent, it's able to access the supernatural realm. That's what touches the spirit. Praise God. What is the anointing? The anointing is the divine enablement by the Holy Spirit to accomplish for God what you could not by yourself. It's the divine enablement. When it comes on your life, it enables you to do what you can't do by yourself. Many times we are not able to accomplish what God expects us to accomplish because we lack that anointing. But when that anointing comes, there is a wow moment in service. Things that God does through you that even you are surprised. And you know that this is not you. It is power from beyond the natural. It's a supernatural power. The anointing is the unction to function in the service of the Lord. The unction to function in the service of the Lord. It's the anointing that helps you to sit in an office. A spiritual office. Spiritual endowment. To be able to operate effectively. There's an anointing that comes upon you for you to lead. As a leader, you need the anointing. As a worker, you need the anointing. You know, one day God said to Moses, he said, choose for you, he said, bring unto me 70 of the elders of Israel. They were already in leadership. But God was going to elevate, God was going to raise their spirit, their leadership assignment. And God says, I'm going to take the spirit that is upon you and I'm going to put upon them for them to be able to operate in that next level. So there's a level of leadership you cannot operate without the anointing. When you go there without the anointing, you only cause crisis. Because you will not speak according to the mind of God. You can't access the wisdom of God. And so you reason from the natural. And instead of contributing, you will be destroyed. Instead of building, you will be destroyed. Because you can't do this work by the human energy. And when you are in leadership, you should be more humbled. Why? Because it takes the oil from him. You need to hear his voice. You will read the story of the church in Acts chapter 15. They might argue back and forth. Definitely, not everybody that was talking from God. Am I correct? God is not a God of confusion. So some people were saying things that was not at the mind of God. But thank God they come to a place that they could say, it pleased the Holy Ghost and us to agree on these things. How did they get there? They were able to hook onto the mind of God, onto the Holy Ghost. And their decision was the mind of God. When you read Acts chapter 13, when Paul and Barnabas were sent, the Bible said they were prayed for by the church and sent by the church. In verse 4, the Bible said being sent by the Holy Ghost. In other words, that they were in tandem. They were in oneness with the mind of the Spirit. It takes the anointing. And that's the anointing of leadership. To be able to be in the mind of the Lord. Glory to God. The anointing is the supernatural power that enables a person to live and operate the supernatural life. So God gave us that life when we received Jesus. But to live that life, we need the supernatural power. We need the supernatural to live the supernatural life. So it's the anointing that enables us to do that. Praise the Lord. So like we said, the Christian life is a supernatural life, and so we need a supernatural power to operate it. You may not operate in the spectacular, but God expects every Christian to operate the supernatural. Praise the Lord. Let me explain that a little bit. The difference between the spectacular and the supernatural. Like, God gives you a kind of faith that can open the eyes of the blind. That's spectacular. You can raise the dead. That's spectacular. The miraculous, signs, wonders, miracles. Those are spectacular. Hello? And those are special gifts to special vessels. But the supernatural is common to all. Are we talking? So even if you cannot prophesy, God expects you should be able to hear his voice. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. That's supernatural. Even if you can't open the eyes of the blind, God expects you should be able to commune with him. You should be able to talk with God. That's supernatural. Are we together? Hello? So, every child of God is expected to live the supernatural life. as many as are born of him, of God, are led of the Spirit of the Lord. Being able to do something and you know that God wants you to do this. Even without hearing a voice, there is a witness of the Spirit on the inside. The surest way that God speaks to us is on the inside, where the Holy Spirit dwells with your spirit. Even if you receive a voice of prophecy, it must agree with the Spirit on the inside, with the witness on the inside. That's the surest way. That's supernatural. So, you may not operate in the spectacular, but God expects you to live the supernatural life. Why? Because you are supernatural. He that is born of the Spirit is spirit. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. So to me, it's the normal Christian life. Let me just round up by saying, this is important because number one, our God, who is your Father, is a spirit. John chapter 4 verse 24, it tells us that God is a spirit. And that's why we are also born into the spirit realm. He that is born of the spirit is spirit. Why? Because you must be. Why? Because your father, your parentage is spirit. Again, you must operate in the supernatural because your enemy, the devil, is a spirit. How can you fight a spiritual entity when you are not spiritual? How can you fight a spiritual warfare when you can't hear in the spirit, you can't see in the spirit, you can't talk in the spirit? You'll be a casualty. So God in his wisdom ensures we are born of the spirit. That's what makes the New Testament to be above the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they were not born of the spirit. The Holy Spirit never resided in them. The Holy Spirit will come upon them and use them, and he will be lifted. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit dwells there. Why? Because we are born supernaturally, so we can live supernaturally. And there are several scriptures that tell us that the devil is a spirit. Like I said earlier, our warfare is spiritual, so we also must be spiritual. We must be supernatural. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers, spiritual forces. Even though we are in the flesh, we war not against the flesh. So because our warfare is spiritual, we got to be spiritual. Our helpers in the realm of the spirit, they are also spirit. The Bible says angels are spirit, and they are our helpers. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, the angels saith he, who maketh his angels spirit and his ministers flame of fire. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? So the angels who are our helpers that have been sent to minister to us, they are spirit. And that's why we are born of the spirit, to be spirit. In other words, to be supernatural. My emphasis tonight is that we should see it as a sense of responsibility to grow our spirit, to walk in the spirit, to grow in the spirit, so we can operate in the spirit. Praise the Lord. I've got to stop here. My time is up. Tomorrow, we will now look at the supernatural power. We just laid this foundation. But I want us to go with this burden. We need to grow in the spirit. We have received the spirit when we got born again. A child that is born into the family cannot maximize the benefits of the natural life unless he grows. And God wants us to maximize the benefits of this supernatural life by growing our supernatural nature. And the Lord is going to help us to do that. I pray that God will create hunger in our hearts, great thirst in our heart for the supernatural. Let me just say this. Do you remember the story of Paul? The day Paul, I'm always so challenged by that.
when he was knocked on the way of Damascus, he was led into a house in Damascus. The Bible says after 3 days, Jesus came to a man called Ananias. Ananias was praying. The Bible called him a certain disciple. I don't know what place of leadership in the church was, but the Bible just called him a certain disciple. No title. A certain disciple called Ananias. And he was praying, and Jesus came to him and said, Ananias, he said, here am I, Lord. He said, somebody just got saved in town. And Jesus gave him the address of where Saul was living. He told him about this, the life of Saul, the ministry of Saul. Am I correct? That's supernatural. He was just a certain disciple. Why praying? Jesus could communicate with him. Jesus could talk with him. Jesus could show him things. Jesus made him know what had just happened. That's supernatural. That's the kind of New Testament Christianity that was handed over to us. But you know what amazed me there? He said that this man who just got saved, Saul by name, was his praying. And I seen a man called Ananias coming to pray with him to receive the Holy Ghost. I said, wow. Saul have never been to church. Saul have never sat in a Sunday school. He was just 3 days old. He had never listened to any preacher, but he was praying to the point that he could see in the spirit. He knew somebody was coming to pray for him. He knew the name of the person that was coming. And you know what Jesus said to him? He said, go pray for him and let him receive the Holy Ghost. By that singular encounter, such a hunger was stirred up in his spirit that he waited on God for 3 days without eating, without sight, and he knew, he perceived in this realm of the spirit, supernatural. Are we together? That was the kind of life they were living in the Bible days. And that same spirit is still here. Remember the man called Cornelius. Cornelius was praying and an angel walked in. And say, Cornelius, your prayer is answered. Am I correct? He was such a devout man. And the angel told him about Peter. He never heard of Peter before. And told him where he was staying. Told him his address. He said, go, send for him. And he will tell you what to do. And Peter was praying. And God showed him that it was time for him to go visit the Gentiles and preach to the Gentiles. And he was still arguing with it. And as he stopped praying and wanted to eat, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Three men are at the gate looking for you. He said, follow them. Nothing doubting. I send them. And so by the time he met the men, he said, it's me you are looking for. Have you read the Bible? Now, I'm saying, that's just supernatural life. And that's the life God wants us to live. That's the life beyond the natural. And so sad today, some of us in business, we easily fall prey to all kind of con men. Why? Something is still blocking the flow. Somebody walk up to you and something in you just know that this man is not right. And whatever he says just hit you back. What's that? Supernatural. It's a deep knowing. Like we used to say, I know that I know that I know. Sometimes you may not be able to explain, but you know. Are we together? That's supernatural. There is a light that is on the inside. The Bible says you have the Holy One. You have been anointed with an anointing and it teaches you all things. It's on the inside. Those are the benefits of the new life. And God is going to help us live it. We're going to walk in the reality of it. That what makes you different. That what makes us different. Yes, we are born from above. So we should hear from above. When we receive Jesus, we receive light. And Jesus said, he that believes in me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall receive what? The light of life. We should not stumble like those who don't know him because we carry the light on the inside of us. Am I correct? Talk to me. Is that correct? Yes. When you have Jesus, you have light. Praise God. When God commanded light to shine out of darkness, the world was full of darkness. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And he separated the light from the darkness, called it the first day. That's what it means to be born again. In the midst of darkness that we are living, light shone up. And the Bible said that light is the life of man. So in that life that we receive is the light that shows us where to go, what to do. Is the supernatural life. Glory to God. Glory to God.
It's our heritage in him. Sometimes you will not be able to explain, but it is. Why? It's like a child just draw up or inherited a gene from the father. He may not be able to explain it, but it just looks like the father. It just talks like the father. It just sounds like the father. Why? Because of what he carries on the inside. Not his doing, not his making. And that's what it's supposed to be. There's something we got from him, and it's inside of us. And it should make us look like him, act like him, talk like him, behave like him, operate like him. Why? Because we have it. Glory to God.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.